Good morning. My name is Jordan Booth, and I'm a graduate research assistant in Dr. McCall's lab at Virginia Tech. I'm also a golf course superintendent in Richmond, Virginia, so I try to bring a very practical approach to the research that we're doing at Virginia Tech, and especially with the emerging technologies, more of an applied approach. The project I'll be presenting today is precision-guided applications for the suppression of spring dead spot. Bermuda grass is one of the most widely utilized turf grasses in the United States, very well adapted to the southern United States as well as the southern transition zone. It has excellent drought, heat, and traffic tolerance. Hybrid varieties, turf grass breeders have done a wonderful job providing superintendents and turf grass managers with new hybrid varieties that are much more cold tolerant and much more adapted in colder regions. And one of the great benefits of Bermuda grass, it has low to moderate disease pressure. Well, with every rule, there is an exception, and certainly in the transition zone, spring dead spot is the exception to that rule. It's a very destructive disease of Bermuda grass. It frequently reoccurs in the same geographic locations from year to year. And as the name implies, spring dead spot is a disease with symptoms that cause dead patches of turf in the spring of the year. The causal pathogen is Ophius forella species, and with the primary infection time in the fall of the year. So usually the most effective fungicide applications have occurred in the fall. And what spring dead spot really does is it predisposes the turf to isolated winter kill damage. Unfortunately for golf course superintendents and other turf grass managers, control options, including fungicide applications, have been inconsistent and very expensive. What most turf grass managers have decided to do when budgets are limited is utilize inexpensive products, which can be sometimes more ineffective. That's really become a standard practice in the industry. For two examples, the two products we'll be looking at in this study range from $125 per hectare for two fall applications to over $1,300 per hectare. So it's really not hard for turf grass managers to make that decision on when to apply or what to apply in the fall. With the more affordable products, we have seen in our research that we have more inconsistent results. So golf course superintendents are looking for a better solution. Leads right into my research objectives. To be able to compare site-specific applications of fungicides with broadcast applications of fungicides against the suppression of spring dead spot. And really the goal is we want to put the right products in the right place. So if we've had historical evidence of disease, we want to make sure that we're putting more effective fungicides site-specifically, and we want to compare that in the efficacy against broadcast applications. We also want to improve the methods for site-specific fungicide applications using historical disease incidents. Once again, we want to make these applications practical and applicable to golf course management and turf grass management. If they aren't practical and not applicable, they really don't do us much good. So we began back in the spring of 2016, and our primary goal in the spring was to develop disease incidence maps. And what these maps allowed us to do is count and record disease incidents in the spring of the year. Our first step in the workflow is to capture digital imagery, and we do that with an unmanned aerial vehicle, commonly referred to as a drone. What we then do is we take all the images we've captured and mosaic them together. That's a really fancy term for combining the pictures into maps, and then we ground truth that with GPS coordinates that we collect on site, on location, and use the computer program QGIS to georectify these maps so that they are spatially accurate. For our experimental design, we used a completely randomized design with four separate treatments over 80 plots. The plots were about 5.5 by 6 meters with 5 locations for a total of 400 plots. The image on the left is of Dr. McCall collecting those GPS coordinates on site. And the picture on the right is one of our colleagues at Virginia Tech in the Unmanned Systems Lab, who is a licensed pilot flying and capturing the digital images for us, or excuse me, the aerial images. The picture on the left is of our disease incidence maps, and we've zoomed in on our plots. So you can see 80 plots, and this is really a relatively pretty big area. And so, like I said, we want to bring this to real world scale on golf courses and make sure it's applicable. The picture on the right is the subplots that we developed in the plots that we will utilize in 2016 for our site-specific management. You can also tell from this, this is also how we manually counted the spring dead spot incidents in 2016 using QGIS. After we counted the plots, we did rank them by disease severity, and then we randomized the plots into four separate treatments. We did use a known bias of disease severity to make sure that disease severity was equally proportionate in each of our treatments. Our treatments include an untreated tebuconazole at 1,238 grams of active ingredient per hectare across the entire plot to mimic a application of fungicide across the entire golf course, pentiopyrad at 1,071 grams of active ingredient per hectare across the entire plot, once again to mimic a broadcast application. And then treatment four was our site-specific application, utilizing pentiopyrad at 1,071 grams per hectare site-specifically once we reached a disease threshold. So once again, this is where we used the subplots, and if the subplots reached a disease threshold, we did make the application of pentiopyrad in treatment four. So then we come back in the fall of the year, we laid out all of our plots, and then we sprayed. So our applicator was the golf course superintendent here at the Country Club of Virginia, and we sprayed once soil temperatures at 2 inches dip below 21 degrees Celsius. And this was a very labor-intensive process. We staked and flagged each one of the plots in every treatment across five fairways. So I would go through, I would flag all 20 treatments in treatment two. We would spray, flag all 20 treatments in treatment three, spray, and then we would flag all the subplots. So very labor-intensive, and like I said before, not very practical. I can't convince many of my colleagues in the golf course management industry to go out and flag all of these areas. We did gather some results, actually, in the spring of 17, when disease symptoms were evident again. We ran an analysis of variance and then a mean separation after we counted the plots again in 2017 for spring dead spot incidents. And not surprisingly, the untreated, we saw a mean increase of about 2.8 patches per plot. The tebuconazole, we saw a mean increase of about 1.75 patches per plot. And the pentiopyrad, we actually saw a large reduction, which we expected, of over 3.5 patches per plot. And then the site specifically, we saw about a one patch reduction. It was statistically equivalent to the pentiopyrad, but it was also statistically equivalent to the tebuconazole. We did, however, gain that statistical equivalence with a 51% reduction of total treated area. So really, we sprayed half as much fungicide to get the same results. Fast forward to 2017, once again, we did the same methods to collect the and build the disease incidence maps. We then assigned a point layer in QGIS. So this time we're really trying to automate and simplify the system and make it more practical. So we used the computer program to create a point system. The computer program was then able to count the points in each plot, which gave us our disease incidence. And we used those points to buffer with a 3.88 square meter buffer. And that's the amount of area we would spray in treatment four. We were able to utilize the Toro MultiPro GeoLink system, so a Toro 5800 sprayer, and we used the computer program to build maps that were then able to be used for application treatments in the fall. This is a good example. The picture up top is of our plots clipped out of our disease incidence maps, and the picture on the bottom is representative of our spray map. So the blue squares indicates treatment two and three, where we are making broadcast applications of tebuconazole and pentiopyrad, respectively. And then treatment four is the site-specific management. So you can see we've actually buffered those spring dead spot incidents from the spring, and we're literally just spraying where we had incidents the previous spring. Zoom in on the plots, and I want to make one important point. A lot of the disease reduction we're seeing is not only from only spraying where the pots were, but plot number 1838, which may be hard to read right here, is a treatment four, but had no disease incidence in the spring, so required no fungicide. So that's one of the real main effects on fungicide reduction. So then we went through, and this is where it gets super exciting as a golf course superintendent. We utilized those maps this fall to make the applications and to make the treatments in treatment 2, 3, and 4 using the Toro GeoLink sprayer. That this year, it happened to be on September 18th and October 17th. So this year, and that's what makes spring dead spot research so exciting. This year, we had a cold streak. We got a little cool, and we made that first application, and then we heated back up. So, you know, it's always going to be difficult. But then in spring 2018, we'll build the maps again and look for results. Real quick overview of the sprayer. The picture on the left shows the sprayer with the GPS RTK technology. And the picture on the right, I just wanted to highlight this because you can see our treatment plots here highlighted in green, meaning we've made those applications. So instead of having to go through and manually flag and stake and all the painstaking process that we did in 2016, it was really just myself mixing up the sprayer, going out and following the screen to spray our plots. And we did calibrate this tool to make sure that we were spraying where we wanted to. So 2017, we were excited to see a 65% fungicide reduction in treatment 4. And our treatment differences will have to be determined after we build the disease incidence maps in 2018. Future research, I hope you'll join me this afternoon. We want to look at digital image analysis using aerial imagery. I know that's been utilized in spring dead spot a lot in the past. We're trying to make it applicable to spring dead spot research moving forward to see reductions and increases in disease incidence using aerial imagery. So I think it'll be a great research tool, but also maybe a great identification tool for making precision applications. Finally, I'd like to acknowledge my committee, everyone at Virginia Tech, my lab mates, and then the Environmental Institute for Golf, Virginia Golf Course Superintendents Association, the Toro Company, Syngenta, and then the gentleman at Country Club of Virginia, Dave Rathke, the golf course superintendent, and Christian Sain, the director of Golf and Grounds, who have been a great deal of help during this golf course application and research. Thank you. Now I'll have time for any questions, I hope.
Yes. Time for a couple questions. So patch diseases, I might just ask you to speculate. You know, they're in patches that are sort of easy to do, things like dollar spot, other sorts of problems, even maybe condemn or things like that. How do you think we go about starting to map them to make a sprayer? Do you think you do it in the same way where you find a big area that had dollar spot and you just call it that? Do you see application of these precision things for other diseases other than spring dead spot?
Certainly, great question. The question was, how can we utilize this technology in different diseases? So I think spring dead spot really lends itself to this because when the symptoms occur versus when we need to make the applications. But having used this type of technology with the RTK guidance, I think as a golf course superintendent, it'd be easy to go out and physically use the sprayer to map maybe areas of concern on your golf course or your property. So maybe if you had a couple fairways or tees that you wanted to shorten the interval on, that's actually pretty easy. Dr. McCall and I guess, bumped heads for about 12 hours trying to figure this thing out. And then once we did, it's really been very easy to use. So I think that would be a great way to do it. You know, where you have more disease pressure, physically build the maps that maybe you wanted a shorter disease interval or, you know, application interval.
It seems like right now they're just thrilled about, I just want to spray a fairway so I don't have to have triangles in my step cut or in my rough anymore. That seems to be the immediate, how it's making its way into the industry. I don't think too many are using it for this site-specific thing. Certainly we don't see much of it. There's not many people with spray rigs yet because of the cost.
And I think that's, you know, golf course superintendents, I think, are naturally, you know, people of change and people that want to adapt new technologies right now. The price is certainly the biggest prevention of that. So as this, I think the price will come down, and as this technology meets the market, I know the golf course superintendents will find really good ways to utilize the technology.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you.